This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. In the late Depression and heading into World War II, government photographers traveled around the country to capture images of America at play, at work, and out of work. Those black and white photographs have become emblems of the time. Dorothea Lange's migrant mother, for one, grimy and tattered, her face creased with work and worry. What's little known is that some of the New Deal photographers were also trying out a new technology, Kodachrome, which had just come on the market. Now some of those forgotten color images have been collected in a book titled Bound for Glory. In the introduction, Paul Hendrickson writes that he's fallen head over heels for the color pictures.
I guess I see it in the way that I go out on the street and see contemporary life. I mean, life is a colored thing, and even though I so love those black and white photographs, and always will, and they are the kind of movie tone reel running in our heads, I don't think these color photographs should take away from those. I think that both of them should work together, and they should complement.
What was the idea behind this project? What were these photographs supposed to show and to do?
All of it, Melissa, was directed toward this. To send these photographers, who had been hired here in Washington and who were shepherded by a kind of populist genius bureaucrat named Roy Stryker, these photographers, and there were never more than a dozen working at one time, certainly, fanned out all across America to take pictures of hard times, ordinary times, bring them back here to Washington, have them developed and printed, and then placed in the journalistic outlets of the day, and to show on the Hill to congressmen, to get New Deal legislation passed that would bring relief. And the stratagem behind it was simply this. It's a controversial idea of Big Brother helping out the little guy with all of these New Deal programs, so they wanted to show the human face on this.
You include in your introduction part of a letter from the director of this project, Roy Stryker, a letter to one of his photographers, and I wonder if you could read from that. This has to do with what kinds of things they should be shooting and what they're looking for.
Here's what he said. Please watch for autumn pictures, as calls are beginning to come in for them, and we are short. These should be rather the symbol of autumn, particularly in the Northeast. Cornfields, pumpkins, raking leaves, roadside stands with fruits of the land. Emphasize the ideas of abundance, the horn of plenty, and pour maple syrup over it. You know, mix well with white clouds and put on a sky blue platter. I know your damned photographer soul writhes, but to hell with it. Do you think I give a damn about a photographer's soul with Hitler at our doorstep? You are nothing but camera fodder to me. Except that you are on the other end of the camera.
It's so, quite a letter.
So Stryker wasn't taking any prisoners with that letter, but he was joking and being serious at the same time.
The photographs move through the late Depression, late 30s, early 40s. There are county fairs and rodeos and barbecues. And then they become more urban, more industrial, and they're images of a country gearing up for war, some of which seem much more posed. You'll see women in factories surrounded by this sort of unnatural light. What's going on there?
They are posed, and they've obviously dressed to the nines for the shoot that day. They've got Rosie the Riveter's wearing a very nice blouse, by the way, and the rouge is applied just right, and the lipstick.
And the nail polish.
My own feeling, Melissa, is that that period of the photographs is not nearly as technically accomplished. It has something to do with this. The most gifted of the crew worked in the earlier period. The names we know from this period and photography aesthetes will instantly know these names: Russell Lee, John Vachon, Marion Post Wolcott, Dorothea Lange, who's shot in black and white and is not represented in this book. Those people had left by the time the more industrial, urban war preparation photographs were being made, and Stryker himself was getting disenchanted, and he left, and then the project folded. You know, there are only a few of these photographs, relatively speaking, a thimbleful. There's about 1,600 of these color photographs. And the black and white images, which we know so well in our mind's eye, there are 170,000, roughly, depending on how you count.
These photographers were shooting at the dawn of the era of color photography. It had just started.
You know, why did these photographers shoot in color at all? It was the new technology. It was there. It was something to experiment with. These photographers took pictures which were organic. The color is done with a certain restraint. And when color was showing up in the magazines of the 30s, in what we think of as the slicks, it was flamboyant, gaudy, inauthentic, unorganic color. And that's why none of these photographs ever appeared in the magazines of the day. The black and white over and over, but not the color photographs. So I think it has taken till now for us to see the beauty of these. And part of the beauty is that 60 years later, these pictures hold up in full color, but with a certain artistic restraint.
Paul Hendrickson, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Hendrickson wrote the introduction to the book Bound for Glory, America in Color, 1939 to 43. Images from the book are at our website, npr.org.